Welcome to the Flo Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:21, and that is Pacific summertime. And today is June 15th. And a couple of interesting things today. The first, of course, is that there's pretty good evidence here that China intervened to support the market following the decision by MSCI not to include the A shares in the emerging markets index. And of course, Pakistan, which was admitted to the emerging markets index, or perhaps more correctly upgraded from frontier to emerging market status, popped on the upside. And then when we look at Wall Street, the majority of indices were in positive territory today, but finished on the downside following the announcement of the Fed's rate decision. And the answer on the Fed's rate decision wasn't in any way unexpected, but what we do have is bonds continuing to push higher, and that really is the big story. There are $10 trillion of bonds now in negative yields, and again, that figure is only up to date as of the end of May, so who's to say it's not even more than that? And this is an extraordinary circumstance. So I've posted a number of charts today of the German Bund, because that was the big high-profile one that went negative this week. And when you look at it on an arithmetic scale, it doesn't look like much. When you look at it on a log scale, it is incredibly exaggerated by the fact that you have had this big move. Because when you look at a log scale in negative territory, then that means that you're not going to see a particularly illustrative picture. So then I've also posted the point and figure chart. And when you look at that point and figure chart, what you're presented with is a falling yield from August of last year. And that means there hasn't been a rally big enough to create a three-box reversal in 8 months. Now, that's an accelerating move. We're at an extraordinary level. But like any momentum move, it will look like the strongest thing in the world until it eventually turns. And when it turns, it's going to be a peak of at least near-term significance, but then potentially medium or even long-term significance, considering where we are in terms of bond pricing. So it's getting to be a very interesting market, and not least because these prices are really at extraordinary levels. And that's having a distorting effect on just about everything, because if your so-called risk-free rate is less than zero, then the risk that one has to take in order to capture the yield that one might desire is really quite high indeed. And the point that Howard Marks makes, and I've posted an interesting presentation, or link to an interesting presentation that he made in the comment of the day today, and also a point that this piece from Morgan Stanley is making, is that people are no longer looking at fundamentals, and it's not because they don't want to, it's because it doesn't work, but rather they have to look at what central banks are doing, because the monetary environment is such that what happens in terms of monetary policy has a huge knock-on effect for pricing. And that means then that what we're seeing in the bond markets has a massively distorting effect. Now, against that background, the S&P 500 finished on the downside. So despite the fact that Europe was a little bit steadier in here today, it wasn't the kind of upward dynamic that you could really hang your hat on, or that people would say, oh, wow, that's something that I really need to pay attention to in here. It really doesn't look like anything other than some steadying, and not least because we have had so many consecutive days on the downside. And perhaps the best market in here today in Europe was the Swedish index, which was up over 2%. But they have a lot of work to do, and there is still this uncertainty, despite a little bit of steadiness in here today, with regard to the Brexit vote, which will be next week. And that could potentially represent an all-change moment, but until we actually have a decision, then it is likely to represent a source of volatility. One of the reasons I suspect that the S&P was closing on the negative side in here today, and only just in the negative, on the negative side, down just a few points, was because oil prices were down over a dollar on Brent crude. Now, the price today is at $48.60, and the peak is closer to $53, which is about a $5 pullback. We haven't seen more than a $6 pullback since January, and prices are now back right in the region of the moving average, and a reaction of greater than $6 would begin to pressure the region of the moving average. It would represent a larger pullback, and a move below the 200-day moving average would represent an even larger pullback. It would really question the consistency of what has been a very consistent advance. And when you have had a rally which might not have got exactly 100%, but almost a doubling from the low in January, then at least some consolidation of that, and particularly when you have these massive reactions against the prevailing downtrend, then the potential that we get right-hand extension, which could take the form of a volatile range, which could likely happen anywhere between the peak around 53 and the low around 28, well, then the risk is really that we do not get the same kind of upper dynamic, and it is and every time oil prices have pulled back, they have rallied from a $5 pullback with an emphatic upper dynamic, and that is now what is required for oil prices to do the same thing here. But of course, the risk now is higher because prices are higher. So this really is worth keeping an eye on, and not least because the energy sector is large cap and has been a major contributor to the ability of the stock market to rally over the last 6 months. So that really is worth watching. Now, with that uncertainty, gold prices were a little bit firmer here today. They were up about $7. Silver up about $14. And then both of those contracts have bounced emphatically from the region of their respective 200-day moving averages. And if one wants to see an example of what a first step above a type 2 base or a right-hand extension following a massive reaction against the prevailing downtrend might look like, well, then all you've got to do is look at either silver or gold. They're both approaching their respective recovery highs, and they have very short-term overbought conditions right now. So then we couldn't be too surprised if they do experience a little bit of resistance. For example, around $18 for silver or around $1,300 for gold. But then that might only be a very mild pullback, considering that these both exhibit really quite bullish patterns overall, and a really quite deep pullback would be required to question that conclusion. And then when you look broadly at the industrial metal sector, then today was also a firm day, and copper in particular was up about 5 cents and continues to firm from this $2 area. And of course, it wasn't so long ago that it was trading more around $4. So it has halved from that big range that prevailed before the big pullback, and has been ranging now above this $2 area for a while. So there is potential for additional firming, and aluminium also had a good day. And then when you look at both platinum and palladium, they were a bit steadier, but certainly not in a dynamic fashion. And in soft commodities, white sugar was pushing new highs, and this has been a very firm and orderly consolidation for Arabica coffee, which has been really quite volatile of late. So it continues to look like some of the better opportunities are in the commodity sector, but certainly the individual contracts have to be treated on their individual merits rather than just taking willy-nilly conclusions because oil prices are perhaps are something that really do need to be taken into consideration, considering that they represent an input price for the production of just about everything else. And with stock markets, I think we are going to continue to see additional volatility. So while today was a slightly better day on both Europe and in much of Asia, then there is a potential that we could have just additional volatility, but that could also set us up for a buying opportunity sometime next week, as we get at least some uncertainty removed from this market after the referendum in the UK. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.